Chapter 1. We'll look at the introduction, the author, trials as he covers it. What are the purposes of trials and what does God intend to accomplish with trials in our lives? Let's read verses 1 and then I'll start to exposit. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, who is this James? The Bible kind of narrows down James. There's four Jameses in the Bible, and I've concluded that this James is the half-brother of Jesus. He saw the resurrection of his half-brother, or the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He was one of the witnesses. And he was a bondservant. That's the word doulos. A lot of times we think of being born a slave, and other times we think of being bought out of the slave market of sin. This one is about James being a born slave. He had two masters. One was God the Father. The other one was Jesus Christ himself. He had no responsibilities to take care of himself. When you're born a slave, all of your needs are taken care of by the master. So he was able to focus on his ministry, and he was what some think was he was a pastor of the Jerusalem church. He was on the Jerusalem council, and persecution probably started, as we saw earlier today in Acts chapter 7, 8, 9, somewhere around there at the stoning of Stephen. That's when these people that James is writing to probably were scattered. He was a pastor from about 35 A.D. to about 50 A.D. And he was a Galilean Jew. As the pastor pointed out, there were Hellenistic Jews and Galilean or Hebrew Jews. He was everything I could find, he was a Hebrew Jew. His Hebrew name is Iach Kobos, which means Jacob. So that was kind of interesting to me that his real name is Jacob. But when this book got transliterated into the English, it comes out James. James was a senior pastor of the Jerusalem church, as I said, and his flock was pretty much split. A lot of them were on the run, being scattered from persecution, and some were in the audience. And I guess the closest we can see that today is maybe we got missionaries on the mission field. Some of them are away, but most of us are localized. Well, James, this is a pastoral epistle. This is kind of like a sermon he wrote and preached to his congregation that was scattered abroad. And he deals with trials. And in verse 1, it says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. And then he goes on to say, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Now, trials here is not necessarily that they were being persecuted and they were scattered. Trials can be a woman who's having a breech child, and she has to get information how to have that child. She's going to need a midwife or a doctor or C-section. A trial could show up that you walk into your job and you get a pink slip and the boss says, we don't need you anymore. So you got to work through that trial. You got to find a new job. You got to figure out how a job is going to be able to pay your bills and stuff. So it's various trials, multicolored of trial. It may also include you might be on your way to work or to the grocery store and get in an accident. It's not even your fault. Now you've got to get insurance exchanges. You've got to get estimations. You've got to get a rental car. You've got to get a body mechanic to fix your car. That's if you're not even injured in it. So trials are about working through. So James says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. And trials are going to come up again and again and again in our lives. But why do they come up? And basically they come up because knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Testing here is that God is, for all the time in our lives, are testing to see if our faith is a saving, genuine faith. And he gives us trials. And he says here, and James says here, count it all joy. It's kind of like walking into your math class in a school or a college, and the teacher says, we got a pop quiz, or there's going to be a test. So all the time up until this point, the teacher has been teaching you how to work through a problem in math or how to work in composition and verbs and adverbs to create stuff in English. So God uses trials to test our genuineness of our faith. Is our faith in Jesus Christ truly genuine? And if it's not, it's going to show up when you get your test back from the teacher. It's going to show up with a failing grade or a passing grade. And so James tells us that we need to count it all joy. I remember when I was in high school, I didn't really apply myself, but when I got into junior college, I realized you couldn't guess your way through it. You either had to know them, you either knew the material or you were going to fail and fail miserably. So it really taught me that this is the way God works. We're in the Word, we're in church, we're under sound teaching, and eventually God's going to give us a trial to test our faith. And then when and if we pass it, he says that the knowing that the testing of our faith produces endurance. In other words, endurance is we get a grade. We're going to get graded, and we're either going to pass or we're going to fail. And then he goes on to say, and let endurance, let this passing grade have its perfect result. In other words, let this passing grade prove that your genuine salvation, your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is true. You pass the test, and you're ready for the next test. It's like in school, one test doesn't cover 12 grades. It only covers maybe a simple, minor subject, and that's where you're at. And this is what God is saying. Once you pass the test, you're rewarded with some kind of a grade that says you are maturing in Christ. And this is what James is saying here. Let the endurance have its perfect result. It's not perfect sinlessness. It's directional sinlessness. In other words, just because you are proven to have saving faith doesn't mean that you know everything and you're Christ-like and you don't sin anymore. No, it's a progressive righteousness. And this is what James was telling his congregation, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And what it means by lacking in nothing, you're not lacking in saving faith, genuine saving faith, and you're not lacking in being directed to the point where you're maturing in Christ. As Abraham, in the story with Abraham and God, he said, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And this is what this testing of our faith is. It's to teach, it is to challenge us to see if we're in the faith. And then once we are proven in the faith, we are rewarded with maturity. And that would be the end of my message tonight. And I thank you all for being here. Oh, let us pray also. Thank you, Father, for this opportune time to learn in your word and know your word and understand what trials are all about and what the reward are. And let it be that we would all be found to have genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And help us to continue on to be joyful in trials, looking forward to them so that our faith can be tested and be proven genuine so that we can be more and more like the perfect one, Jesus Christ. And we pray in his name. Amen.